Welcome to Manager Tools. How to do a phone screen interview. Part 1. This cast answers these questions. How do I conduct a phone screen interview? How is a phone screening interview different than a regular interview? How long should I spend phone screening a candidate? If you want the answers to these questions and more, well, listen up. Mark, we've talked often about, you know, before bringing in a candidate for a full day of interviews, and yes, folks, we recommend a full day of interviews, phone screening your potential candidates to narrow the field even further is a great necessary thing, right?
It is necessary. And there are two schools of thought here. One is OHR does that, which we'll talk about here. And you may or may not choose to have HR involved. But the other piece is that part of the reason that I started teaching this years ago was the number of managers who would do a resume culling from 100 resumes down to 20 and then think that they had to bring all those people in for a full day of interviews, which logistically, immediately everybody listening goes, yeah, that ain't going to work. And then so what they did is they'd have these 20 that were yeses and they would bring in one or two at a time. And what managers tried to do was what ended up happening over a period of years is managers started to try to rank order those people that made it through the resume screening process, bring them in first. And what that created was this situation where everybody who was interviewing the person knew the earlier people are better. And of course, it benefits us to hire somebody faster if we have an open rec. So it was a serial game. It was a race, really. And that creates an enormous problem in recruiting that we know we're comparing candidates to one another and the best candidate is the one that's going to get hired. And believe it or not, folks, that's not the standard that great organizations try to meet. Great organizations do not try to meet a standard of let's hire the best. Great organizations say, we're going to set a standard for the job. We're going to build a very high wall that you have to get over. Anybody who gets over that wall, then the race begins. If we have 100 people and only two get over the wall, we're going to hire the best of those two. If we have 100 people and none of them get over the wall, we're not going to hire the best person of that 100 who didn't get over the wall. And so this rank ordering and the logistical burden of 20 people to interview, which, by the way, often led to, oh, well, we can't have 20 people all interview with everybody. So every single person on the team will interview three, and then we'll all come together. And Joe will talk about his three guys against Bob, who talked about his three people. And Joe and Bob will literally fight it out after a fashion to see who we're going to hire.
All right. There's no relativism until you get to the end.
Right? Oh,
This is a world of absolutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You can do the job or you can't.
Right? And then, by the way, when Joe presented, he says, I just like this guy. Like, well, can you share with us some, since the guy may be here for 25 years, can you give us more than, I just like this guy?
I just like him. I just had a feeling.
Just had a feeling. My gut says we should hire him.
Yeah.
Maybe not. So the fact is, guys, if you try to interview in person every candidate whose resume doesn't rule them out, but we're going to assume that one of your first, if not your first steps in your interviewing process is a resume culling. If you try to interview everybody in person that makes it through that first bit, you're going to go crazy logistically. You're going to go broke financially in terms of flights and time and lunches and everything else. So we recommend in between your resume culling. And potentially, we're also going to talk about applications and some of our other guidance. We can also talk about employment testing as well. After all that, then you do a phone screen with those people who have made it to the next cut, if you will. We have 7 pieces of guidance regarding phone screens. First one, 30 minutes is enough, guys. You don't need more than 30 minutes. Second, you can use HR. HR can be involved, but not necessarily. And there's a misunderstanding among managers in the world, particularly if you're a new manager, but HR has been there for years and they tell you this is how it's done. Don't assume that's the only way it's done because it's not. Second thing is, and this surprises people, you're the one that makes the phone call. Then at the start of the call, you give them a brief process overview of what's going to happen. You then ask the $64,000 phone screen interview question, which is tell me about yourself. If you have time at the end of the 30 minutes, which is depends on your level of experience, how good you are at probing, but typically you won't have so much time, You're going to ask one or two behavioral interview questions that are related to the job. And then last point is, there's no need to share your decision, yes or no, with the candidate at the time of the interview.
Good. There's a lot, but...
Well, I'll tell you something else. Part of the reason there's a lot, Mike, is that when I was writing this guidance, I had been working with a company saying, let's create your process. And I had this moment of, these people, there's a couple of directors, there's a VP, none of them ever had any insight, any training, any, hey, here are the basics of phone interviews.
That's right.
And they were all doing it differently. And I said, whoa, I'm getting to the point now with as much guidance as we have out there, over 800 tasks, that I'm a victim of academic creep. Well, surely everybody knows that. No, we're gonna go right down into brass tacks here.
Right. And once you learn this, it's pretty simple. It sounds like a lot, but it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
And just think about all the time you're going to save in terms of not bringing the wrong person in.
Yes.
I mean, painful. Okay. So a lot of folks would say that, man, I just can't learn a lot in 30 minutes. 30 minutes doesn't seem like a lot of time to interview somebody.
Right. It's not. And in addition, why wouldn't I try to narrow my logistical and financial concerns of the face-to-face interviews by doing a more fulsome, a more complete phone screen and interview them for an hour or hour and 15 minutes. And then, you know, I can go, instead of bringing in six, I can bring in one. But the fact is, guys, 30 minutes is plenty of time to conduct a phone screen. A screen is not a full interview. That's why we don't call it a phone interview. People may call it that, but in your head, I want you to be thinking of it as a phone screen. As I said before, they are generally conducted following a culling of the stack of potential qualified resumes and before, somewhere in between that and before the full day of final interviews.
Right. And it becomes clear why 30 minutes is sufficient when you think about the fact that what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a reason to say no, which is the whole purpose of interviewing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But in 30 minutes, you can often find a reason to say no.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to come back to that, guys. But if you haven't heard us say it before, if you haven't listened more broadly to our other guidance, you haven't been to our effective interview conference, your company hasn't hired us to conduct effective interview training, let's be clear. The purpose of an interview is to say no. It is not to find a reason to hire someone. If you're trying to find a reason to hire someone, you'll find it, okay? Now, going back to our process for a second, there's other ways to conduct interview processes, but we're sharing the most likely one that's done by the companies that are well known for having high standards and great people all over the world, the great companies of the world. What we're talking about, resume calling, phone screen, HR involved, face-to-face interviews, and so on, it's normal. And there's a caveat there, which is generally speaking, this process is most likely used. It can be modified slightly if this is not the case, and it's not hard to do that. But we're talking about a situation where you, if you're the manager, and your directs are co-located, and that full day of final interviews includes you and your directs, and perhaps some of your peers, and maybe even your boss as well. It is different in the event that you've got national sales manager, and the people who are going to be conducting the interviews are directs of hers, and they're all over the country, but we'll share those modifications in future guidance. The purpose of a phone screen is to reduce the burden to your staff and cost to your organization of the face-to-face interviews, the number of face-to-face interviews you're going to have, by basically, again, reducing the number of candidates being considered. Its purpose is not to conduct a full and complete interview, but rather to provide another gate in the process. And at the same time, what we want you to know is that it is a screen, not an interview, but that doesn't mean that it's not a clear gate. In other words, we're not just getting to know the person. We are still trying to figure out a reason to say no, per Mike's point. And there would still be, even though it's a screen and not a full interview, there'd be nothing surprising in conducting a series of phone screens and eliminating all of the candidates you had considered from contention, and therefore not conducting any final face-to-face interviews.
Right.
And guys, I know when we say that, in fact, I presented the effective interview training three times this week in three different venues, one to a public conference, one to a client, and one on video. And in the last two where there was an audience, there's no question that managers struggle with the issue of, wait, I thought I was trying to hire someone. You are. But the way to think about it is this. The purpose of an interview is to say no. or the purpose of the hiring process is to say no. And if it doesn't make sense, if that doesn't make sense to you because of the way you've learned or what you've been taught or not taught, but just learned through osmosis, you're normal. Most managers think, my purpose is to find the next hire. My purpose is to fill my opening. But that's a mistaken purpose. And it leads to a dangerous confirmation bias in your mind while you're interviewing. If you're looking for reasons to hire somebody, you're going to find those reasons. As long as you're looking to hire, as long as you need to find somebody, your bias is going to be confirmed. And you'll see things in people that make you want to hire. If Mike introduces me to a friend of his and says, hey, I want you to meet Mark. He's a great guy. The person will see things that cause them to think I'm a great guy, in part because they trust Mike. And so that trust has been extended to me. Even if I do things that that person thinks are quirky or unusual, their brain will not highlight those things, not bring them up, because your brain has a very strong confirmation bias engine. When that person meets me, Mike saying I'm great means, again, the brain will ignore. So much so that it's such a strong paradigm, the other person won't even be able to say that I did it, the thing that would have made me maybe not a great guy. If you play it back on video and say, I want to show you what happened, and I want to point out some things that Mark did, the person will go, no, he didn't do that. Are you sure the video's right? Right? I've had cases where I was coaching an executive and I said, or a manager for an executive. And one of the things the manager said is, Mark, this is going to be hard because my boss, the executive who hired me to coach me, is really not a pleasant person. He never says thank you. He never, ever rewards me, appreciates me, congratulates me. And of course, this manager was somebody who needed more of that, and that the executive was not someone who was willing to do it. And it was not naturally his way. And so I was in a meeting with them, and the executive said, hey, that was a great job. Very insightful. Thank you for that. And I said to her, I said, hey, he just said that was great. And the person I was coaching turned to me and said, no, he didn't. I'm like, oh, yes, he did. And there are six other people in this room that can validate. And they're all nodding their head. Oh, yeah, he said it. And she, no, he didn't. Again, confirmation bias. Her bias is this guy is not a congratulator. He's not a positive person. So when he does a positive thing, her brain ignores it. If you're looking to fill your opening, you'll find reasons to fill the opening. But listen carefully to this. Your purpose in the hiring process is not to hire the right person, but to make absolutely sure you never hire the wrong person.
Hell on earth.
yeah, exactly. We're going to avoid the hell on earth case. If you're pausing right now, if you're listening and you're thinking, what did he just say? I'm not trying to hire the right person. No, we're not. We're trying to avoid hiring the wrong person. We need to have this counterintuitive approach when we interview. We need to guard against everyone, including yours, guys. I know some of you are thinking, no, I'm smarter than that. It's just Horseman. He's just, you know. No, trust me, dude. You're human. You have this confirmation bias problem, too. And you all know, I'm sure many of you have heard us say before, if you're desperate for a person, we often say, when the manager's desperate to hire somebody, we often say, I just need a warm body, right? I'm so desperate. Just get me anybody in here who can help a little bit. Well, our phrase at Manager Tools about that person is, every warm body has a halo, right? Every warm body looks perfect because they are. They're just a warm body. As long as they're walking around, they're warm. They haven't achieved room temperature yet. If we start focusing on making a hire as opposed to avoiding a hiring mistake, we start overlooking weaknesses. And a lot of times a candidate who is not good does a couple of things that are good. Those couple of things that are good are what we're looking for, and we see them and our brain says, there he is. And our brain doesn't tell us about the things that aren't good, but we have to manage the whole person when he or she comes to work for us. And it's those weaknesses, those problems, those issues that we didn't see, even though technically we would say we ignored them. We end up getting a hire and they come with problems we probably should have seen, or even if we saw, we ignore them. And the end result is, what's the one thing worse than having an open position? Filling it with the wrong person. That's just right. So that's why the interview process is built the way it is. Okay, so that was a long aside there, guys, sorry. In the case of phone screens, more gates to have candidates go through is better in a hiring process. We want the candidates who want hiring to be easy. In other words, wow, Mark, you say I have to do phone screen. This other company, they culled my resume and they're ready to bring me in for a final day of interviews. Okay. And they're saying, so maybe I should go interview them. And I would say, okay, I'm sorry. This is our process. We're really picky. You know, we raise the bar pretty high here. We want those candidates who want it to be easy to go away because our process is not easy. Now look, we can be kind. We can be polite, we can be respectful, we can be cordial, we can be friendly, even pleasant, and still have very high standards, okay? We want the candidates to continue in the process, to persist through our process. Not that our process is rude or disrespectful, but there are a number of gates. We want them to persist because underlying they know the guys who don't want a hard process are not the guys I want to work with. They're the guys who want to slip through the cracks, right? And they know, people who are willing to go through this process know that great companies set high bars to entrance. Okay, now, what ends up happening is, okay, wow, let's make it hard. Let's give everybody a full day of interviews. Obviously, logistically, financially, we can't do that. We can't usually spend the time to conduct multiple full-time behavioral interviews on all of our possible resume screen candidates. But we do want to start talking to them. And there's only so far that a test or an application or another resume screening or even a group resume screening, which a number of companies started doing a number of years ago, and I don't think helps terribly much. I'm not going to tell you not to do it. I just haven't found it terribly useful when I've been involved in hundreds of them sitting around conference room tables. It ends up devolving pretty quickly into best and worst. And then the big group in the middle, there's no discernment involved. But you can only gather so much about a person, what's on paper, what's on applications and so on, what HR might be telling you. So we want to start talking to them. You're going to have to talk to the people you work with. Communication skills matter. Tone matters. Ability to answer questions matter. Your sense of how well you'd like to work with a person matters. So phone screens are an in-between gate between those resume screens and final face-to-face interviews. Again, it's been our experience, 30 minutes is plenty of time. Remember, guys, we're looking for reasons to say no. Believe me, if you start doing that, if you haven't interviewed that way, and then you start looking for reasons to say no, your brain is going to blow you away by how many reasons to say no virtually every candidate.
You get to it pretty quickly, right? And if you can't find it in 30 minutes, you probably not going to find it in 45 minutes.
Exactly. Because if you're saying, oh, well, I would need an hour to interview a guy over the phone, that's probably because you are looking for reasons to hire. And you figure, I'm starting to feel good, but I won't be able to say yes to the guy in 30 minutes. Well, that's because you're doing it wrong. No offense. So did I when I first started. You're doing it wrong. The purpose of the interview is to say no. When you start looking for reasons to say no, those things tend to come up much more quickly. They were there before. You were just ignoring them.
Yeah, and if you understand that doing the phone interview, you're not looking for reasons to hire somebody to make the decision. You're simply looking for reasons not to bring the person in for face-to-face interviews. You'll structure your questions differently. Your whole mindset will be different. And you'll get better at finding no's, right?
Yeah. And look, put it more differently, a little simple. If you haven't gotten a reason to rule someone out after 30 minutes, provided you've made the switch and you understand your job is to be the gatekeeper of death, if you will. If you haven't found a reason to rule somebody out after 30 minutes, you probably won't find one after 45 minutes. If you still haven't found it after 45 minutes and you figure you'd go to an hour-long phone call, the problem becomes, this has been my experience, and I've conducted thousands of phone interviews and phone screens, most people are going to struggle to get through a phone interview of an hour or longer. Phone behaviors, the ability to be useful on the phone, start to deteriorate for most people once they reach about an hour's length of time, okay? The bottom line with phone screens, guys, is you won't have enough time to cover enough questions to decide you'd want to offer somebody. That means by definition, you're going to have to balance the time you spend with the results you can get and the value you can achieve. And so 30 minutes, we found after years and years of doing them, works best against those two opposed objectives of results and value.
Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one.
This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.